Intervju Radija Študent.
Biohekaton oziroma kako zgraditi mobilni laboratorij. Prejšnji teden je v galeriji Kapelica v sklopu biotehne platforme za umetniško raziskovanje živih sistemov potekal prvi biohekaton na slovenskih tleh. 8-dnevni maratonski dogodek je na enem mestu zbral umetnike, znanstvenike, DIY ustvarjalce ter hekerje iz vseh vetrov, ki so s skupnimi močmi in sebi lastnimi idejami ter izkušnjami poskušali definirati in zgraditi premični laboratorij. O biohekanju, konceptu delavničarstva in pomembnosti tovrstnih dogodkov smo se pogovarjali s pobudnikom dogodka ter dvema udeležencema hekatona. Mark Duzelje, ustanovitelj biotehne in hekterije, skupnosti biohekerjev iz vsega sveta, je predstavil svojo idejo premičnega laboratorija in koncept hekatona.
Word hackathon, it's a combination of hacking. I'm using the word hacking more as a hacking making production idea, but it's also a marathon. And marathon, they take long, they're exhaustive. So it's a long hacking phase. Like in this case, we spent about 8 days with a large group, kind of every day, working on the ideas of mobile laboratories. And during the last couple of years, I've done a lot of workshops in the framework of Hekteria, and we figured out that we really need this prototyping phase where we have enough time not only teaching someone, but developing new projects and collaborate with other people that work on similar ideas. These hackathons for me are a very productive phase that I try to organize.
Okay, can you explain a bit the idea of a mobile lab?
So anyway, with the Hekteria environment, one of our main activities is setting up amateur biological laboratories for hackers, makers, artists to use. They can be temporary, so we go to space and set up a do-it-yourself bio lab. They can be also a bit more long-term, like the Biotechna laboratory that we set up the last couple of months. And also because I personally have been traveling a lot, going to places for setting these labs and workshops up, I already developed some ideas of mobility. I need to bring my stuff somewhere because most of the stuff that we use in this amateur biology labs is kitchen stuff. It's stuff you get from a household, but not all of it. So throughout the years, I kind of got a bit, a knowledge of what I have to bring in my luggage if I go to, for example, Indonesia to do workshops. And these ideas I wanted to share with some other groups and people that came in. And the other part is that if sometimes you want to go out into the field, into the forest, or near to a lake, to do some of the research on site and not bringing it back to a fixed infrastructure. So we brought people together that already worked on these topics or started to work on mobile laboratories and had 1 week of time to develop boxes that contain all the stuff to do some simple analysis and amateur biology in the field. We tested it already, and I think most important was that we constantly tested our prototype. Even the prototype were not yet finished, but we already went out into the field to test them and learned, you know, where they fail and where they succeed.
Okay. We had amazing opportunity to meet all these participants, people from hacking environment, from bio environment, from science background. Can you introduce them a bit? How did you pick them up?
Yeah, so I planned this hackathon a few months ago already. One idea was to bring my two major partners in the Hekteria framework that are based in Switzerland to Slovenia, so they can share their skills with the local community. That's Urs Gaudenz, a microengineer and strong member of the maker part of Hekteria from Switzerland, and also Sachiko Hirosue, a Japanese researcher that part-time or full-time works in an academic research laboratory, but also is very interested in these participatory formats of working with artists and working with students. And she already has done a project inspired by an earlier hackathon that we did 2 years ago. She started to work with young bioengineering students on mobile environmental testing laboratories. I wanted also her to come to show the work she did with her students and also continue to develop it here with the local participants. So that was, let's say, the core people I invited, and then I sent out a call to people in the network who wants to participate, and we got people from Zagreb, like Gino Sutic, who runs a bio-tweaking hacker modules and is a very talented amateur or whatever, uninstitutional researcher working on biohacking and on transhumanism in Zagreb, and has developed already lots of protocols using kitchen chemistry and household appliances to do his own biological research. And because he also wants to do more work in the field and outside of his current infrastructure, he's very interested to develop these more mobile laboratories. Then also, on a very short notice, Elizabeth Cole applied that she wants to join. She flew all the way in from the United States. She's interested in developing a suitcase for genetic testing of food. So we were helping her to develop a PCR machine. It's something Urs Gaudenz has already developed the last couple of months. So he was helping her a lot on building a mobile PCR machine for testing if food is genetically modified. We had on the weekend Stefania Druga also joined. I invited her because she does a lot of workshops and educational projects with children. And again, you need this mobility, because one of the key issues when you want to reach out to people, instead of waiting for them to come to your own place, you have to come to their place. So you need to have your equipment and your mobile lab ready that you can go to where the people are instead of hoping the people come to you. And who else did we have? So internationally, we think I'm a bit tired.
It's okay.
I think one of the key issues with these hackathons is that they are exhausting, like a marathon. After a week of spending every night until 4 o'clock in the morning hacking and making and discussing, going to the field, sleeping outdoors, having parties also with the local participants, it's a bit exhausting. So we're happy that it's over and we have some sleep. We had a few local participants coming in, like Chris, who is helping with the fixed, unmobile or semi-mobile laboratory, Biotechna. It is also mobile because we just moved it from Kibr Pipa venue up into the show building next to Kapelica Gallery, putting all the lab into boxes, moving them a few floors away and setting it up again. Paula Pin was also participating, artist that works a lot on music and interfacing plants and electronics. And she was also a very important contribution on very creative projects, detecting luminescence and fluorescence in the forests.
Okay, so yesterday you had the final presentation of what you did, and can you explain shortly what was a final product, and would you say it was a successful hackathon?
Yeah, I think it was a very successful hackathon. Mostly exploring new ideas and sharing them with this group of participants to build a really robust prototype of a mobile lab. You need more time and focus on that. And so during the testing, we built boxes, or we used boxes and modified them into mobile laboratories. We figured out that if you even walk in the field, it's very useful to have strips that you can put them on your back so you have your hands free. This is important for collecting samples. It's important also if it gets a bit more dangerous and if you're in the mountains or the hills and you need to hold on, otherwise you don't fall. So this idea is that we have a nice cute picnic corp as a mobile lab. Although it looks cute, it's not very practical because you still need to hold it. Also, we figured out that it needs to be really robust. I like hot glue, but after one day in the field already, a lot of the joints broke and the hot glue fell off and all that stuff. So I think that was one of the key findings. We also put lots of LEDs into our mobile boxes, which was very good because we stayed one night outdoors and it's good to have battery-powered light sources around. In my personal mobile laboratory that I built, I put the sound system in there. That was, let's say, more for the entertaining part of these field trips, that we can, you know, have some DJs playing at the same time. I think that was some of the key findings, was robustness, put it on your backpack or in your backpack. Sound and light is important to have. And what we also figured out is, if it's for a sample collection, make sure you bring enough containers. Because if you go out into the field, suddenly there's so many interesting things that you want to keep, that you want to analyze, and you can never have enough containers.
So my last question, what would be your recommendation to people who want to build their own bio-movable laboratories?
Recommendations? Do it together. I think not try at home alone, build a mobile lab. Do a spontaneous hackathon with your friends and, you know, even 3-4 people, so you can work with other people and learn from each other. I think that's key. And there is already lots of information out there. So if you look at the Hackteria project on the web, it's got a lot of information how to make your laboratories, how to start working with biology. And also this mobile labs hackathon is kind of documented already. And we will put more instructions on the wiki, which you find on the website.
O svoji izkušnji hekatona ter lastnemu dejstovanju v polju DIY biohekanja, ki jo izvaja v sklopu biotweakinga, dogodkov v zagreškem media labu IMM, je spregovoril Gino Šutič.
So, hi, I'm Gino. I'm from Dubrovnik. I live in Zagreb. I'm a freelance scientist. I do science and I'm using artistical expression to show my science to larger crowds so that I can bring people to science.
Okay, and what kind of science are you into?
I do biotweaking. That is the term I've coined to describe things I do. I'm using open source and DIY science techniques to enhance life and to make like living things more useful. Most of my work in IMM Media Lab in Zagreb. That is a hackerspace, maker lab, open lab. We do all sorts of stuff. It is about a group of people interested in DIY science and Devo science. That's do it with others. So we are experimenting and learning together. We have 5 sections. One is bio section that I lead. It is usually every Thursday I teach people, mostly artists and people with no scientific background, in like the basics of science, so that they can do biohacking and experiment with living things and apply them to their own area of interest. But also we have electronic section, robotic section, rocketry section, wearable technology section, and audio section, and even a band that our lab gave birth to. It's called Messy Oscillators. So we play lots of weird instruments in lots of musical festivals. And our lab organizes formal workshops, teaching workshops, which are all open for public, like once a month or often or more. And there we bring like some international lecturers or domestic lecturers who teach people a bunch of useful stuff that they can apply to their own life. It's totally for beginners, so anybody can join in. We have open lab. All of our sessions are open labs, so anybody can come in, join, and become a member. There is no membership fee. We do a lot of scientific and artistical exhibitions. And we started connecting internationally with other institutions who share the same interests.
Okay, so can you explain how biohacking looks like in Croatia? Mm-hmm. Or do you have like a stronger society who works in this field?
my group of biohackers, I'm the only, my group of biohackers is the only group doing it in Zagreb that I know of. We are the only one doing it publicly. And the group consists of around like 50 members who are interested into biohacking. We do it on Thursdays. Every Thursday has a different topic. So we cover like wide area of topics, from like simple topics like making moss graffiti to the more complicated stuff like learning how to do and experiment with stem cells and cell cultures, and some production like producing penicillin fermentations, hacking our own bodies, hacking metabolism, hacking brain, and stuff like that. The group is very functional. It is one of the most popular sections in our lab because it's always very lifeful on Thursdays. So we are having fun and learning together.
Great. So what was your experience on this hackathon? What did you learn? What did you do?
Yeah, hackathon was a great experience for me because I'm connected with Hackteria Network like from last year. But I haven't met all of these nice people. And it was great to meet people who share the same interests and all of us are like different, but still share the same main idea and interest. So it is great to see how people think and how people react and what do they do, what they are doing in their own labs, what is their idea of biohacking and the topics they cover, they would like to cover and stuff. And the workshop was very, very useful because most of us don't have like proper labs. So it's important for us to build our own equipment. And most of the time it has to be mobile because when you go exploring the world around us, you have to bring equipment with yourself. So this was great experience to do like building equipment and optimization of mobility of everything that we have, because that's what we all need.
I saw you were doing something with fishes in aquariums.
Yeah, we were experimenting a little bit with fishes. Actually, Robertina was the leader of aquarium workshop. But I was, during this workshop, I was collecting, when we went into nature, I was collecting soil samples from lakes and pools to make and produce biofilters for water purification using bacteria. Those are the type of natural filters that you don't need to change or you don't to use any chemicals. You have like bacteria working for you to purify water in aquariums. It can be used and modified for purification water in different like for drinking or something else. So this was the research I've done during these workshops.
Okay, you also went to Xilt, to the Space Center?
Yeah.
I heard you had some really nice, funny experiences there. Can you just like shortly explain your trip and what was the purpose?
Yeah, Xilt was really, really great and inspiring experience for me because it's beautiful and it has like the idea that nobody has yet covered of culture in space and developing some things that nobody thought of developing, because most of the space research program and space exploration is focused just on getting there and how to keep people alive and not to go crazy. But nobody actually explores what those people should do and how would they live there. So it's really important to do some research that will cover those topics, because now they are sending a group of people into the Mars and nobody actually like explored how could they live and exist and tolerate each other there. So it's really important to develop culture and the impact of culture in space and how it would be different than here on Earth. Yeah.
Okay, so my last question would be, if you would go to space, what kind of biohacking would you do there?
Ooh, all sorts of biohacking, because mostly what's really important for like space traveling, exploration and colonization is DIY, improvisation and open sourceness. So you have to improvise on everything, and I would, if I was to go into the space, it would be really challenging to improvise with like earth plants, algae, bacteria, and living microorganisms or microorganisms to shape the climate in space stations, spaceships, or even another planet to make it more habitable for us.
Pogovarjali smo se tudi s Štefanijo Drugo, mlado raziskovalko in ustanoviteljico mreže Hakidemija.
Hakidemija is a mobile invention lab. So what we do is that we go where no one goes and train local team of young people to work with children and introduce them to hands-on making, hands-on science, experiments, coding, so they can learn by doing and by playing. And after they are introduced to soldering, for example, they can build projects for their local community, like a solar panel. And it's not only making for the sake of making, it's not only learning tools so we use tools, it's project-based learning so they can do something for their community. Because we believe that children have rich imagination, they can find solutions that we cannot think of anymore, and they want to be involved in their community, they care. So we want to give them an opportunity to apply knowledge and work in the community and do projects and work together, collaborate, and get like this feedback, this satisfaction of a project. I made a robot, I made a solar panel, it's something I made. It gives them a lot of self-confidence and they're very proud and they get the inspiration to learn more. They become curious. We want children to become curious. So it started 9 months ago. I went to Cambodia. I was working with 100 children that are orphans in an orphanage in Phnom Penh, the capital, all ages, from babies to 18 years old. And when I went there, I didn't know exactly what we're going to work on. So I said, I will just go see what they have access to, what they like, what's relevant in their context, and we will improvise. And it turns out that the older ones were speaking English, but the younger ones didn't. So what we ended up doing is that we created circles where I would teach the older ones and they would teach the younger ones because, you know, they could only speak Khmer. So it was beautiful because they got the responsibility of teaching and they also learned better because the best way of learning is to teach to someone else. So together we start doing all the things that they liked, you know, like they wanted to build blogs. I showed them Khan Academy, Wikipedia, learn how to make an app, electronics, you know, like we set up like a local, what do you call it, mini microscope, like all sorts of things. And yeah, I worked with them for 4 months. And at the end, like I felt my role there was done because they were learning from each other. And they learn how to, where to look for information, how to be curious, how not to be scared when they don't know something, to ask each other, to ask like teachers, to ask people from the community. And I said, wow, if this worked so well in Cambodia, where there are like so little resources, it's worth trying to apply in other countries. And I felt like I actually learned a lot from them, you know, because they have a strong community sense and they still fix many things. They fix their motorbike and so forth. So I came back to Europe and I went to France. I was working in a research center for life sciences and it's a special research center at Paris Descartes where they do learning through research. So when students are 18, they go directly in the lab and they start making experiments. So they don't start learning theory and all these things that they don't understand. They start making an experiment and along the experiment, they learn everything they need to know. And I convinced the students and the researchers to come with me to schools in underprivileged areas of Paris and just work with the kids, you know, and ask them like big questions of science, like go and study the ants and make like a musical carpet and code an app that emulates the solar system. And it was amazing, you know, like because the scientists, they have a lot of imagination, but they also like challenging questions. And children ask them very challenging questions. And after that, I applied to this program at NASA called Singularity University. So I was there for 3 months. They invited me as education teaching fellow. So I worked with students from all around the world. They were studying about like all like these latest technologies like nanotechnologies, AI, biohacking. And some of them, you know, I told them about this project, about Hackademia, and they said, wow, yeah, it's great to learn about these technologies, but we wish we would have learned about it when we were younger. So we will help you do this project, you know, because if you start early, then you can really change a country. You can really change mentalities, behavior, you know. And yeah, ever since we've done more than 60 workshops, 4,000 children, and 300 mentors. And I really want to come back to Slovenia and do it here as well and train a team of students here that, I mean, you have this beautiful space. Just imagine, like, and I'm sure the other space is also great. You know, a evening, once a week, once every 2 weeks, have like open space. You don't even need every time to prepare workshops, but just have open space. They come, you have discussions, they ask you questions, you know, you show them things. And I would really like, I think the most important is to learn how to talk to them, so to how to stimulate their imagination, how to create stories, how to get them excited. You know, it's not necessarily, they don't care about skills. They care about how much enthusiasm you put into this. And if you treat them as a grown-up, as in like if you take their opinion seriously, I take them very seriously. And if you see, if they see that, you earn their trust. So that's what I would like to do, to come back and work with a group of local people from here, from Slovenia, so they can start, you know, popularizing like all of these questions.
These labs and
all of these labs and all of this.
Was it the first time for you that you were a part of a biohackathon with all these crazy devices which are all around us? Like, I don't know, just tell me about your experience.
My head is exploding still. I learned a ton. It was so intense. I didn't know that much about bio before. I'm more of an electronical hacker and computer science, and I learned a lot about biology, and it's fascinating. And the people were fascinating as well, like stories of biohackers that started young and they know all the plants. And I grew up in the mountains in Transylvania, so I also know all the plants and I really like nature. So we have like very intimate conversations. And also all these constraints, like how can you take everything that is in a lab and take it to the forest, and what can you keep and what can you minimize, and how are you gonna deal with electricity, with battery problems, and how can we make experiments more interactive or like more efficient, and how can we share what we learn? Like there was a lot of learning at so many levels, and the people were quite unique, and we were all very different. So I think we learned a lot from each other. I really enjoyed it.
Great. Two more questions, and I want like short answers. What is workshopology?
Workshopology is the religion of workshops. We think we will promote a new religion where everyone is going to become super intelligent in the world, and that's what workshopology is all about.
Okay. And the second question, what's your definition of mobile lab? DIY lab.
Yes. Mobile lab is basically a bag, a suitcase, a box where you just put things you need in order to explore the world around you. And the way you want to explore the world is your choice, and what you put in your box is your choice. And you iterate that over and over again, and you just go out into the nature and try to see what happens.
Biohackala je Tina Dolinšek.
Intervju Radija Študent.